We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Donaldson to left and hit an absolute ton. Oh my goodness.
ESPN last night, Josh Donaldson homers in his first two at-bats in the first two innings. First Brave to do that in 11 years. Hit two home runs in the first two innings of a game. Josh Anderson is the answer to that trivia question. I know. Who? A guy did it in 2008. Josh Donaldson, meanwhile, hits two home runs, leading the Braves to a big 11-6 win over the Cleveland Indians. And somehow the Braves managed to salvage not only the series, but win the series 2-1 over Cleveland after being routed in the first game of the doubleheader Saturday and being way behind in the second game when you're thinking, oh, my gosh, they're going to get swept. But they didn't get swept. They ended up winning the series because of a huge ninth-inning rally on Saturday and then the bats booming yesterday where they had 16 hits and everybody in the lineup got at least one hit. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. We're at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm on Main Street in College Park this morning with three other stations, with V103 and WAOK and Star 94.1. It's part of our Entercom One Thing initiative here at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm, which is a sustainable farm and organic farm, which is kind of a neat place too. But we're talking about a lot of big headlines from over the weekend. Atlanta United taking another one on the chin. The Braves salvaging 2 out of 3 with the Cleveland Indians. And, of course, G-Day.
G-Day.
Where we didn't get a chance to see a whole lot, if you were watching on TV.
But we got them I got those Grindhouse burgers. Shout out to Grindhouse and John, because, boy.
Oh, Johnny makes some serious burgers.
Ooh, boy. You know, it's funny because shout out to my man Carl Dukes, because, you know, we don't get to see Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. My man Mike Bell was out there. We don't get to see him that much. So, you know, we get a chance to chop it up a little bit. But my man Carl was funny, man, because we're sitting there, right? And, you know, everybody, you know, it's Saturday. You know, they're getting ready to go to the game. And we're doing our radio hits. Had a great time out there at the Grindhouse. But nobody's leaving until they get a burger. Like for real. Nobody was leaving until they get a burger. And got the burgers, and it was a great time. We laughed and giggled, man, had some good food and everything, and it was a great time. As a matter of fact, Johnny, I bought some burgers to take home because I had some family members in town. And if y'all listening, y'all can leave whenever y'all get – I enjoyed y'all company. But y'all can leave whenever y'all get ready. I mean, there's no – you know, ain't nobody putting y'all. I'm just saying. But I bought a couple turkey burgers and a couple of the beef burgers. Boy, they were raving about it. That's probably why they're still here, because I gave them the burgers. That's my fault. But, yeah, shout out to Grindhouse, man. I had a great time. And family, y'all can leave whenever y'all get ready. Ain't got that big a spot, so y'all need to go.
Well, you're mentioning G-Day because we're going to be talking about T-Day, which is coming up Friday.
T-Day.
Yep. Friday night at Georgia Tech. And the new head coach of Georgia Tech is Jeff Collins. He'll join us in about 17 minutes from now. We'll talk with Jeff Collins ahead of Georgia Tech's spring game coming up Friday night at Bobby Dodd Stadium. But let's go back to the Braves for a second. What could have been a disaster of a weekend in Cleveland turns out to be huge. 2 out of 3. You're back above 500, and for all the issues of the Atlanta Braves, they're 11-10, and they're okay at the moment, going down to Cincinnati to open a series against the Reds tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know what, John? And you know what? Nobody's trying to sugarcoat it because everybody's talking about it. The bullpen. We know the middle relief in the bullpen is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still in it, man, and they're figuring out ways to win. And you can't tell me to a man that the other night when the Braves were down, I think it was, 7-1? I mean, I'm pretty sure you did like everybody else. Did you tuned out because you're like, boy, this is going to be bad. And now you're trying to figure out how you're going to handle your workday Monday. But they rallied and they came back, man, and they got the job done in the ninth inning. And then not even talk about yesterday, Josh Donaldson and what he was able to do and how he came up big. You might be right, John. He might hit 40 home runs this year. He might hit 40 home runs. But the thing that I like about this team is a carryover from last year. They're resilient. They're fighting. And – another thing that I saw last night, Max Fried is your ace, hands down. There's no question about that. Max Freedy's ace.
Well, the good news is the offense is really starting to warm up again, and it's been a little cold lately.
And cold Cleveland, too, as a matter of fact.
Right. And so that's a good sign. But we were never really worried about the offense or, for that matter, the defense. We were worried about the pitching. And Hugh, the starting pitching, whatever's affected the middle relief and the closer situation has really begun to affect the starters, because the starters have been banged around so much so that Tuki Doucette, who came up, gave you a brilliant relief effort in one game, had another solid start in another, got banged up over the weekend. He got sent down to AAA.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are going down to Gwinnett at record pace here.
Yeah, it's one of those things, John, where, like they said, and I think Nick Green talked about it, Paul Byrd talked about it. Bottom line is somebody has to step up. I mean, that's it. You're in the majors. You're getting opportunities. Somebody has to step up. You have an embarrassment of young arms in the minors that a lot of people look at and say that's the strength of the Atlanta Braves. Somebody has to step up. And so far, the only person that looks like they want to stick and stay is Max Fried. Max Fried last night on the mound when he was in trouble, I think it was in the first inning he was in trouble, John, and he was getting squeezed. His strike zone was getting squeezed a little bit. But they cut a shot away to him where he looked like he was genuinely mad at the ump for squeezing him. And he refocused, and he gave you 6 1/3. And it was like, what, 7 hits, 2 runs? That's pretty impressive. That's what you need when you're out there on the mound. That's the kind of cat that you want to have, is a dude that knows that he's not probably getting a raw deal, but he ain't going to complain about it. He's not going to get all up in his feelings. He's going to go out there and he's going to handle his business. And that's what he did last night.
Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Indians after a big offensive outburst yesterday. They're 11-10, a game out of first place. Day off today and head down to Cincinnati to open a series against the Reds tomorrow.
Against the 8-13.
It's one Cincinnati thing to have closer by committee, which is where they are because of the injury to Vizcaino, unless they go out and make a move for a closer. Not easy to do unless you want to sign one particular guy. And it's another thing to have middle relief by committee, but now you have starters by committee. 8 different guys have started a game for the Braves this year, and we don't know yet. Here we are 21 games in. We don't know about Mike Foltynewicz. We aren't really sure what the rotation is. You mentioned Max Fried and Kevin Gausman and Julio Teheran. Those three guys, I guess, mixing and matching with you tell me who. Because Sean Newcomb's been sent back to AAA. Kyle Wright back to AAA. Bryce Wilson back to AAA. Tuki Doucette back to AAA. It's just a revolving door of starters right now.
Somebody got to step up, John. That's the only thing I can think about. I don't think I can't even spit it out. That's the only thing I can tell you. Somebody has to step up. There's golden opportunities out there to stick and stay with this ball club. There's probably going to be some opportunities to be in the middle relief at some point if you want to be here. But somebody has to step up and show Brian Snicker that he can handle the pressure. And yesterday, to me, Max Fried was that guy. Max Fried handled that pressure extremely well.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see the starters, you know, going up and down quite so much as they have. It doesn't surprise me that Max Fried is pitching this well. I think we got a real sense in some of his relief appearances last year and spot starts and in spring that he was going to have an impact on this team. He's actually pitched better than I think a lot of us thought he would.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of surprised that nobody else has. We know that we
have. Sometimes, John, that pressure busts pipes. And I can't stress it enough, man. That look that he gave. Well, that look that they cut to, I don't know who he was looking at, because, you know, it's easy to say that he was looking at the ump or whatever. I don't know what he was looking at. But it was one look where he gave where he was visually frustrated by what was going on, but he didn't go into a tank. You see some pitchers. One of the greatest things that I like to witness when I watch baseball, not so much when it's our team because it's kind of bad, but I like to see when a pitcher's on the mound and he's melting down, when he doesn't have any confidence in anything that he's throwing, and you see him there, and he's looking at the ball, he's licking his fingers, and he's waving off pitches because he's not confident in throwing them. I didn't get that I didn't get that last night for Fried. It looked at him, he's like, okay, so that's what we're doing, and he just kept throwing that heat. It was one he threw in the dirt. It was 95 miles an hour right after he had that look. I was like, damn, okay. This cat right here is serious about his. That's the kind of attitude I think that you have to have. It's like a quarterback. Like, you know how, like, you know, Brett Favre, for instance. Brett Favre would throw the rock till he got on. He got to throw it till you get on, man. And that's what Max Fried is to me. He's not the guy that, you know, you see some pitchers when they throw a couple, they throw a couple walks, then they get intimidated. They get timid. They don't want to throw anything. You got to throw yourself out of that. And he looked like that's what he did last night.
You know, one of the things I liked about what happened with the Braves this week is that with the DH and Ender Inciarte batting ninth, which is something I talked about before the season. Remember, I said I bet Ender in the nine hole. I'd bet the pitcher eighth and let Ender hit ninth. Well, we saw what happened yesterday in the second inning when Ender was able to get on in front of Ozzy, and then suddenly you have Josh Donaldson who's batting second with a couple of men on, and that home run he hit was a three-run bomb, not a two-run bomb or a solo shot. He had a solo shot in the first and then a three-run bomb in the second that broke the game open. And early on, you knew that, and then, of course, they had put three more up in the third, and by that point, the game was already over.
Yeah, it was kiss the baby at that point. I was tuning in to Game of Thrones at that point.
Right. But I still like the idea and concept. If you're going to look, if you're going to keep Ender on this team, and you're going to start him in center field, and you're not going to seek to trade him or move him or something, then I think that nine spot really works for him. I just do, Hugh. I like that idea.
Yeah, and they also benefited from the fact that they had an extra man up because they had the doubleheader.
Right.
That was a new rule in baseball that they had the extra man up. So yeah, it was a good day for the Braves yesterday, man. I'll tell you what, I would venture to say that there was a lot of Braves fans out there that were pleasantly surprised at the way that the Braves played. They were pleasantly surprised to see that happen for them the way that they did yesterday.
But we're going to have to figure out this rotation at some point. Now, again, we don't know about Mike Fulton-Evershin quite yet about his return.
I honestly, John, I wouldn't too much. Like, well, right now, Max Fried's your ace, 3-0. He's your ace. Everybody else after that, you got to get in where you fit in. And you got to give me what you can. Because I would say him, Gosman, Tehran. That's it. That's your three right there. And everybody else has to get in where they fit in. And when Fulton Evers gets healthy, hopefully he can bring you something to the table. He can bring you what he had last year. That's how I kind of look at it.
Right. Sean Newcomb, is he going to be able to, you know, kind of get his game back and,
you know what?
Rejoin the team?
I think that Sean might be looked at. If he can't get it together, he might be looked at as a middle relief guy. I'm speculating at this point, read the tea leaves, he might be middle relief. That's what I'm kind of thinking. He showed some flashes last year, but I think that if it all works out, Fulton coming back, Gosman, and I don't know who the fifth guy would be at this point.
Soroka.
Forgot about Soroka. I think he'll probably be middle relief.
So at the moment, of all these young pitchers, you have two in Fried and Soroka that are really the two that have popped to the top of the heap. All I wanted from that whole list of 9 or 10 young starters in those fresh arms, Hugh, is I wanted three of them to hit in some form or fashion. It appears that Fried and Soroka are going to stick. Now, who's the third one that's going to? Because Tukey's been given a couple of opportunities. Sean Newcomb has. Kyle Wright will be. Ian Anderson at the end of the year, if they can wait to the end of the year for Ian Anderson.
It's still a lot of baseball left to be played. And then you got to think that you still, with Max Fried, him being up here, there's a chance that, you know, as the season goes on, he'll get a little tired, so he'll have his little bit of a lull. There's still going to be some opportunities there for these guys, no question about that.
Braves take the day off. They go to Cincinnati and face the Reds in a three-game set. And, of course, a game out of first tied in second with 11-10. Phillies are in first 12-9. So we know what this race is. Are they going to be making any moves? The answer is yes, they will make some moves.
When it's time.
I know. I do think it is interesting that they have had such a short and quick hook with these young pitchers. You're up, you get a shot. If you don't do it, man, you're back down.
You know what? I don't see why you're surprised at that, John, because of the way that the baseball season is potentially going to play out. I mean, I look at it like this, and I'm not picking on you, but I've heard fans say this. You can't be mad at the moves that Brian Snicker's making when we've all said basically that, you know, this is going to be a race that comes down to the wire. I think that you look at that series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and you look at those two games where easily the Atlanta Braves could have won, and you let those two games get away. You ain't got time to be trying to figure out who's going to have their stuff today and all this other stuff. You give them the opportunity, and if they can't get it done, you got to move on. You have to.
Yeah,
because this is going to be a tight one.
Yeah, because right now I don't know. We saw Mike Fulton-Evershin have a couple of really good starts down in rehab, and now he's been just hammered the last couple of times he's gone out. So there's a lot of concern about whether or not, you know, he is going to be able to rejoin the team at any point in the near future. And, you know, at some point you hope he's back, because he was and remains, if he's healthy, he's your ace.
Yeah.
He's your ace when he's healthy. But is he going to be healthy enough to rejoin this club at any point in the near future? And that's part of the big problem here is his rehab has not gone like they had hoped it would go, which is leaving them in this rotation of pitchers right now where you have, you know, so many different guys vying for, you know, one or two spots.
Yeah, but you don't want to rush him back. And the good thing about the good thing about it is, John, you're in a good position right now. I mean, you're talking about a 14 race right now. It's not like you're six games out of it or something like that. You're still right there. So there's no need to rush him back. Give him all the time that he needs to get what he needs to get done and then take it from there. You're still, like I'm saying, they're piecemealing it together right now. That's not a comfortable feeling, but they're getting the job done. And then they bounce back because I said, going to Cleveland and the way that team was playing, come on, man, you didn't think that was going to be the case.
And, you know, and I know you always say, and you're right, it's early. It's only
it's early, man. But I get it.
Games,
I get it. And
I
never
want them to settle in a little bit.
And I never want to sit here on this station because I understand how passionate baseball fans are. I get that. I never want to sit here and try to poo-poo the way that they feel about certain things. Because I work with a passionate fan every day.
Right.
And I see what it does in you. So I try to be sensitive about that. But at the same time, I still have to be practical, which is a hard thing to do, like, sometimes because you get all up in your feelings. You be all up. Look at our boss. Our boss Terry Fox is here, John Friggy, with his green garden gloves on. He about to go get dirty today.
He going to go play
the dirt? To go plant some flowers or something. Or some food. But you're dead wrong for them white shoes on out there in the dirt. You're going to be out there in the dirt today with green gloves on and some white shoes. You must don't want them white shoes.
Hey, you can join 929 The Game for a doubleheader at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, Thursday and Friday. Thursday, midday show from 10 to 2, and Duke Sabella will be there Friday, 2 to 7, for our draft coverage brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. Take advantage of huge savings at northerntool.com. When we get back in a moment, Jeff Collins, new head coach of Georgia Tech, ahead of their game on Friday, their spring game. We'll talk to him live after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This is John and Hugh.
All right, let's get it on.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Spring football wrapping up around the nation, and one of the very last teams to go will be Georgia Tech. And new head coach Jeff Collins will have the Jackets and their T-Day Friday night at Bobby Dodd Stadium, and the coach joins us now on the morning show. Good morning to you, Coach.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me on.
Coach, I got to tell you, man, I am excited about T-Day. I'm one of the reasons why I'm excited, because old teammate of mine, Marco Coleman, is going to be out there coaching the D-line. But, Coach, for you, you know, with spring ball right around the corner is here now. What is one of the things that you want to take from this, your first spring ball with Georgia Tech?
Yeah, just the big thing is the whole, since January, just installing a new culture, implementing new schemes offensively and defensively and special teams, and just the energy, the competitiveness, the level of play that we want to establish here on the flats. I think the guys have done an unbelievable job embracing everything that we've thrown at them, and we've become a better team every single day, and we've got to continue to do that this summer and throughout the preseason. Going forward.
You know what, Coach, I'm curious about that because you come in and you change the offensive scheme and you change the defensive scheme. And, you know, it's always growing pains with that. But how has the team responded to that wholesale change of everything so far?
Yeah, they've been awesome. I mean, they were, hungry and, were relishing everything that we've been doing. Even the offseason was very challenging, and we do some crazy stuff in the offseason. And the guys have been unbelievable. And, there's times throughout the spring that we've looked like a really good NFL-style, pro-style, spread-style, offensive team. And defensively, we're, changing the way we're doing things defensively, too. And, the guys have looked really, really good at times doing it.
Talking with Jeff Collins, the new head coach of Georgia Tech. A lot of moving parts, Coach. As you talk about making changes to the offensive defense, you also have a lot of guys coming in and out, a lot of new faces who have to learn on the fly here. So what newcomers have you seen who've really adjusted? Who's jumped out at you this spring?
Well, I mean, we got five guys that enrolled early on the team, and, you know, all five of them have done really good with the transition. Two that are grad transfers, one from Vanderbilt, Jared Southern, and then one from UConn, Tyler Davis. Experienced guys, played a lot of ball at their respective schools, and excited about how they've helped institute the new culture and, you know, embraced everything that we've done and established themselves as leaders in the program. You know, we got one of the fastest guys in the state of Florida last year, Marion Brown, came here as a receiver. One of the top corners in the state of Georgia, Jordan Huff, came early. And then we've got the big Belgian, Sylvain Wajin, came in to play defensive end. He's 6'4", 245, and he's really done a nice job as well. So those are five newcomers that have really stepped up and embraced everything that we're doing.
You know, Coach, to me, in spring ball, it's kind of hard to glean what the offense is going to be. But defensively, what does that defense look like so far? What do you see it potentially being this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of success, especially over the last eight years, in this defensive scheme and this defensive package. But the guys, you know, we inherited a really, really good secondary. And, you know, a lot of newcomers on the front seven, but the secondary has some experience, has some depth. And, you know, I get to work with the TPs every single day, and I'm out there coaching individual with them. And, you know, they've done a great job. But Coach Thacker, our defensive coordinator, was with us the last 2 years at the previous stop. And his you know, stepdad was a legendary high school coach in the state of Georgia, Bruce Miller, up at Gainesville High School, won a state championship. And he's done a great job implementing the culture, creating chaos, creating mayhem, and bringing pressure from every single angle imaginable. And he's doing a really good job with the culture on that defensive side of the ball.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, you just gave me goosebumps. Because when I think of Georgia Tech and I think of Georgia Tech Swarm, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about defensive players all over the place, like laying a hat on everybody. I cannot wait to see it.
No doubt.
Jeff Collins, new head coach, Georgia Tech. Well, a lot's been made about the change in the offense, Coach, away from what Paul Johnson was running to what you will run. Walk me through what you expect this fall. What kind of competition are you expecting at the quarterback position?
Well, yeah, first of all, you know, I want to, you know, give a shout-out to Coach Johnson. I mean, legendary Hall of Fame coach, had an amazing career, did great things here. And, you know, the players that we have on offense have embraced everything that we're doing. And, you know, it's really interesting. The receivers have done a great job all spring, learning the concepts and, you know, going up and getting the ball. They've won more 50-50 balls than I can remember at any stop that I've been at, and just how competitive they are after the ball. And they're still doing a great job, you know, protecting as well or blocking. Offensive line, Coach Brent Key, you know, legendary player, four-year starter here at Georgia Tech. Was regarded as one of the top offensive line coaches in college football, you know, decided to come and join us and has done a great job with the offensive line. And we inherited some really good running backs that run hard. They run their tracks and, you know, they finish runs, doing a really nice job. We've got the tight end position is alive and well here at Georgia Tech for the first time in 11 years. And, you know, excited to get them, you know, integrated into the offense. And the quarterbacks have done a really nice job spinning the ball. You know, I didn't know really, you know, the first 2 months of the offseason, we're just doing workouts and mat drills and all those kind of things, so you don't get to see them throw. But the first couple of days of spring ball, was really impressed. We've got some live arms, some accuracy, and doing a nice job leading the program. And so there's been three main guys that have gotten the bulk of the reps, competing in everything they do, and doing a really nice job leading this team and learning their reads and learning the cup, you know, their progressions and all those things. But they've got some really live arms, and excited to continue to see them develop with Coach Pat Node working with them.
Yeah, as you name those guys, just for the benefit of the fans, because remember, we're going to have so many new faces here. Who are you looking at specifically? When you say three, which three are you talking about?
Yeah, so Lucas Johnson, Tobias Oliver, and James Graham. You know, the three scholarship quarterbacks that we had on the roster during the spring, and doing a really nice job for us. And, you know, we just keep them rotating. We do this across the board. It's not just specific to the quarterback position. Every single day there's a different group of guys working together. Sometimes we go groups A, B, and C throughout practice and do a lot of three spots. Sometimes we go white and gold, which means we're doing some two-spot stuff. So they're working with different guys, and then we'll divide it up and we go one spot, and we'll have a Waffle House sideline and a Coca-Cola sideline, and they'll play at the one-spot trills. But every single practice, there's different groups. We don't worry about who the starters are at any position in our organization. We're just working to have as many guys above the line ready to play and help us to play at a high level. That's our biggest focus and biggest concern, is developing the most guys that are able to contribute at a high level for us at every position.
Yeah, just don't get them scattered and smothered, all right? That's all I ask.
There you go, John. There you go. But, Coach, you know, you talk about the quarterbacks, and that's all fine and dandy. You know, they're spinning the ball. They're looking good. But what about those cats up front blocking for them, Coach? Because, you know, I know Georgia Tech, they ain't got the biggest offensive lineman, especially when you're running that wing T or that option quarterback, I mean the option that they used to run. So how have the offensive line looked, and which guy on the offensive line so far has stood out to you?
Yes, I have a great question. I think the there was a statistic that was out there that, you know, the last game of the season last year, the offensive line averaged, I think, 270 pounds across the board. And
little
made
dudes.
And they were really fast, and they were playing really hard. And within the scheme they were running, were excelling at the execution of it, needing to be fast and nimble and all those kind of things. But we've made a conscious effort. The reason why our spring game is so late is I wanted to make sure that we had three extra weeks of off-season training to get our guys bulked up. And I think across the line, when we went to the scrimmage on Saturday, I think we were about 292 across the board, and we want to continue to get bigger, stronger, so it's now a bigger offensive line that we're rolling out there. But a lot of experience. The guys are playing really tough, really physical. And I think Coach Key has done a masterful job with that group, transitioning from, in a scheme that was, 60%, 65% of their weight on their front hand to now being a little more 60% on your instep is a change. But I think the guys have embraced the change and done a really nice job with it.
One final question for Jeff Collins, new head coach, Georgia Tech. Good and bad in the transfer portal. I mean, you're going to get guys, you're going to lose guys. Overall, what is your impression, Coach Collins, of where we stand in this game with this transfer portal?
Well, first of all, let me say that whatever's best for the student athlete, I'm all for. And our staff and myself will play by the rules that are set forth by the NCAA. But as long as it's the best interest of the student athlete, I'm all for it. We were very selective and thoughtful about how we approached the transfer portal at the very beginning, and we got two guys out of it. And then now, once spring ball is winding down, we want to go through the entire spring, see, how the roster is shaping up, see where the inherent needs were at the different positions to see if we need to dip our toe back into it for, a couple of spots going forward. So, it's a evolving thing. The big thing with me in roster management is balance. So we want to have balance at positions. We want to have balance as far as grade classes are concerned, because the second you get off balance, that's when roster management issues pop up. So we've been very scientific, systematic with how we're approaching the use of the transfer portal.
Coach, I appreciate it. We look forward to Friday night and the T-Day game at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Thanks,
you're the man,
much.
Coach. Can't wait to see it.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff Collins, new head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, as we broadcast live from the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm at College Park on this Earth Day with John and Hugh. We're going to kind of go back over and see what G-Day had and talk a little bit about T-Day ahead next with John and Hugh.
Now back with more John and Hugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely a fan. How can you not be a fan?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm at College Park this morning at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farms, part of our One Thing initiative. Sharing time with Start 94.1, WAOK, and V103. All of our stations are out here right off Main Street in College Park. Well, the G-Day is now in the books, and we got on Saturday, in front of a smaller crowd for G-Day because of the holiday weekend and because of the weather, an entertaining game I got a chance to see what we have. Jake Fromm throws the early pick six. We don't worry about that. Jake's going to be fine. DeAndre Swift's going to be fine. To me, it's always about, you know, what do you have in reserve when it comes to the offensive side, especially when you had Justin Fields transfer out. But, boy, I tell you, Stetson Bennett looked really good at quarterback. So a lot of Georgia fans, you know, Hugh, you have Jake Fromm. Then you don't really know what you got. You've got DeJuan Harris was a four-star recruit, but he's awfully raw. And I think Stetson Bennett, the way he played, the junior college transfer, put a lot of Georgia fans' minds to ease, because you certainly don't anticipate that Jake Fromm is going to get hurt or there's going to be any reason to go to your backup quarterback. But should you, I think that Georgia fans are probably very happy with what they saw.
Yeah, but you know what's funny, John? I remember when we went to G-Day a couple years ago when Jacob Eason got here. And I remember everybody was excited about the fact that he got here. And they scripted plays. They were like dink and dunk plays where he dropped it off to the running back. He didn't really look down the field that much. And people were excited about that. Now, there were two things going on there, I think. I think, number one, Kirby Smart, Coach Smart, did not want to show anybody his hand. He didn't want to show what Georgia's going to do. And that's all coaches. You're not going to go to G-Day or any other day and watch a scrimmage and see teams get into what they're going to do during the season. Notorious for that was Coach Johnson, Paul Johnson, when he was here last year. You go to Georgia T-Day, and you wouldn't see nothing. As a matter of fact, they looked horrible during T-Day. And another thing, it's like you script plays that the quarterback is comfortable with to get the juices flowing, to get the people talking. You got to get the people what you want. And that's basically what it was. That's not me saying that this young quarterback that we're talking about, John, can't be a dynamic player. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. Everything that you look at from any scrimmage that's going on right now is always designed to make the offense look better. And there's going to be growing pains, because when you start getting into scheming and playing against people's weaknesses and, you know, making them throw those uncomfortable plays, that's when it gets a little hairy. But as far as his athleticism and everything like that goes, you got another athletic quarterback.
Threw a really nice tight ball and, you know, made a couple of great passes, one in particular to Brian Herrien. In stride, he looked really good. And now DeJuan Harris and Matt Landers is going to be the two really raw but talented guys. Landers got to learn to go get the football. But those two are, you know, the future of Georgia football. And a big 6'5 guy that can run in Landers, and DeJuan Harris, a 6'6 guy who could throw it and run it. That's a deadly combination. Now, it's not ready for prime time yet. But next year, it might be a combination that a lot of Georgia fans are going to be good with. All in all, I would say that G-Day was a success. I did have a problem with ESPN's broadcast because I wanted to find out more about the Georgia Bulldogs. And first off, well, we missed the beginning of the game because they were stuck in a softball game that was in a rain delay, which drove a lot of people nuts. And then they finally switched over, I think, to ESPN News. But by the time, you know, they did this thing with the referees where they were all a bunch of ESPN personalities and whatnot, and they mic'd them up, and they spent so much time talking about, you know, Marty Smith and Sean McDonough and Dusty Dvorak and everybody else, they weren't talking about the Georgia players, and I found that a little bit disconcerting. It became about, not the Georgia spring game, but it became about these, you know, these referees that were in there, these eight or nine people that were refereeing and learning about this. And I get what ESPN was trying to do, but at the same time, it didn't help me as a fan much.
No, but most spring balls don't, John. I think, you know what spring ball is to me? And I know a lot of people don't watch this way because it's obvious by the many people that come to watch the games. It's to get people excited about the upcoming football season. And to me, it's more about your defense. Because I remember being in spring ball, and my whole objective – was to disrupt whatever the offense was trying to do. I wanted to be the wild card because I knew that it was scripted, and it's always scripted to make the offense better. That's why you always go ones against twos. You go the first-team defense against the second-team offense because you want to get your younger players better. You want to get them acclimated to what you're trying to do. But outside of that, John, it's really not a whole lot. If you're not looking at the defensive side of the ball, there's really not a whole lot you can glean from that offense.
It'd be interesting on T-Day on Friday night, you know, with the new-look offense and seeing guys like Lucas Glover and Tobias Oliver, guys that were recruited as quarterbacks to run Paul Johnson's option, now being kind of reinventing themselves into more traditional kind of quarterbacks. And then in the fall, you'll add in the youngster from Milton, Jordan Yates, into the mix. There's also talk about Nick Starkle, who is a, rumors anyway, a former four-star recruit who was at Texas A&M, that he's going to enter the transfer portal. And you heard Coach Collins talk about, yeah, you know, we're going to, you know, certainly look at the transfer portal and see who's out there, if they can help us in a certain spot. They already have a commitment from Antonio's Clayton, who was a five-star recruit and suffered through a lot of injuries down in Florida, who's going to come in and help their defensive line. But I think from the interview, the one thing I got more than anything else, you ask him about the smallish offensive lineman, and he spoke about how they were 270-ish when they came in. They spent three extra weeks in weight training and bulking up, and now they're running 292 across the board. So that obviously, why is the spring game so late? He wanted all that extra time in the weight room to get these guys bulked up, and he went from 270 to 290.
Yeah, that's not bad, John. I mean, but you're still talking about guys who aren't probably going to be accustomed to the blocking schemes under real live fire that they're going to be asked to do. That's still going to be a little bit of an issue. There's going to be some growing pains here. So I'm just telling you, Georgia Tech fans, don't get all up in your feels if it looks a little rough in the beginning, because you're talking about – you're asking guys that are probably carrying 20 extra pounds – well, they are carrying 20 extra pounds. Coach just told us that. And you're asking them to pass protect probably way more so than they're used to doing. And to put on 20 pounds of muscle, they're still, you know, you got to get acclimated to that. Now, I'm pretty sure from what Coach said, they sound like they're acclimated to that, but it's still going to be some growing pains. It's still going to be an issue where
especially,
it's going to be a tough one.
Especially, Hugh, when you start the season on the road at Clemson.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Man. Yeah, that's a tall order. And this Georgia Tech team is one of those teams that I agree with you. They'll get better as the season goes along. By the time they get to the Georgia game, Georgia's going to see a different Georgia Tech team than Clemson will see. That's for sure. And Clemson fans are going to go, wow, we beat those guys, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be a different Georgia Tech team. I mean, that's true of every college team, but it's really going to be especially true of Georgia Tech because there'll be a big leap. You know, after the first couple of games, they'll start to fall into the offense, and by the middle of the season, it may start to click for them. It's going to be a fascinating ride under Jeff Collins, that's for sure. Again, T-Day Friday night at Bobby Dodd Stadium. All right, when we get back in a moment, Jim Nagy, ESPN draft analyst. What does he have to say? He's going to join the show live about where we stand 3 days ahead of the NFL draft. What does he think the Falcons are going to do? And will Kyler Murray go number one? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game, 99thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.